Turn to the person next to you and answer this question. Or, that's not a question. Say, if I can only use one word to describe Christmas, but I can't say Jesus, what would I say? Okay? Turn to the person next to you. One word to describe Christmas. What's Christmas about? One word to describe Christmas, but you can't say Jesus. No low-hanging fruit here. Okay? So go ahead. Okay. Some of the ideas. What word would you use to describe Christmas?
Hope.
Hope. Good.
Joyous.
Huh?
Joyous.
Love.
Love.
Peace.
Peace. Wow, Jordan. Well done. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Good. Huh?
Hectic.
There's always one in every crowd. Thanks, man. Love, joy, peace, hectic.
Forgive.
Huh? Forgive, yeah. A word that, when we talk about making room, we've gone through different characters in the biblical story, and for today we're looking at the innkeeper. So there's two verses in Luke chapter 2. Well, they were there. It's looking in verse 6. Well, they were there. The time came for the baby to be born, and she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here we have an innkeeper. Gets barely even a mention in the biblical story, and yet plays this huge role in some ways. And I think when we look at the innkeeper, there's another word that stands out, that when we talk about Christmas, we maybe need to keep in the fore, and that is grace. Grace, by definition, is unexpected. Grace, by nature, comes like a stranger. Grace is unexpected because it's never what we deserve. There's never a natural outcome that leads to grace. By definition, grace is unexpected. Grace comes to us like a stranger because it always comes unprovoked and uninvited. One day, many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, there's a man named Abraham and his wife Sarah. They're resting in the heat of the day. Their lives are sort of hunched with disappointment. You see, many years before that, Abraham had received word from God that had told him that if he left the land where he was, God would show him a new land. And even more, God promised to give him a son and to bless the entire world through him. And so Abraham goes to his wife Sarah and he says, God has spoken, and they venture out into a new land. But now it's years later. There's no child. And they don't own the land that they're resting in right now. But now it's in the heat of the day, and three strangers approach Abraham and Sarah. Three strangers that are uninvited and unexpected. Abraham rises from his tent, and he runs out to greet the strangers. Will you please rest here with us, he says to them. Will you please join us for dinner? The three men agree. And now the whole extended family of Abraham snaps into activity. They kill a calf and prepare a meal. The servants and everybody's at work. Later on, sitting around a feast and making these three strangers feel welcome, it becomes clear to Abraham and to Sarah that these three men are not ordinary strangers. That these three men are speaking of things that only God could have known. They tell Abraham about the promise that God gave him. And they tell Abraham, they announce that God is good for the promise, that next year at this time, Sarah will give birth to a child. Now, as was the custom, the men were lounging around the table, and Sarah was behind a curtain, but she could hear what was taking place. And the unexpected, hard-to-believe announcement that was made, all of her hopes being fulfilled, causes this laugh to just come out of nowhere. She laughs in surprise. And so this child that was born a year later is called Isaac, or laughter. In these mysterious strangers that we don't know the names of, God comes near and surprises Abraham and Sarah. In making room for these strangers, in opening their home and making these men feel welcome, they end up making room for the grace of God in their life. See, here's the thing about grace. We can't make grace. We cannot force God's hand to come to us, to grace us with His presence, to bless us. We cannot make grace, but we can make room. For grace, by definition, is unexpected. Grace, by nature, comes to us like a stranger. For grace is the favor that we receive, and it's always undeserved. It's the gift that comes unprovoked. It comes to us like a stranger, uninvited. Now, many years after Abraham, we read of another child of promise. This one is wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger, because there's no room for him in the inn. Now, he's there because of Caesar Augustus. He issues a decree. Caesar, the Roman emperor, issues a decree to all of the world to go to your homeland and to register. He wants to order and count all of his subjects. Joseph, his family is from Bethlehem, even though he lives in the north of Israel. And so he has to cross the entire country with his pregnant wife to register for the census. The decree of the emperor cannot be delayed, cannot wait until the baby comes or until it's convenient. And so for days on end, they make a difficult and dangerous journey. And they arrive in Bethlehem dirty and exhausted and perhaps a little bit panicked because the strain of the travel sent Mary into labor. They can't find a place to stay. There's no room in the inn. And all of the usual places of hospitality are denied. This is Joseph's homeland. Certainly he had a second cousin twice removed, or an uncle, or somebody that he could have stayed with. Is it because he travels with a woman who became pregnant before they were married? Did news of Mary's scandalous pregnancy run on ahead of them? Or was it simple indifference? These were poor young folks. Why make room for poor strangers that can't offer you anything in return when certainly more important people were going to be pouring into Bethlehem at any moment? Again and again they're turned away, but an unnamed innkeeper, who was likely overworked and very tired, trying to accommodate hordes of travelers from all over Israel pouring into his small town. This innkeeper receives a knock on the door from this weary and worried couple. The woman appears to be in labor. The couple looks to be desperate. Frankly, this is the last thing the innkeeper needs. The last thing. This is a disruption. It's a distraction. His home is full. He's completely consumed with hosting those that are already present. They come unexpected. They come uninvited. Then perhaps he remembers the law, the Hebrew law. He remembers that God's instruction to his people has always been to make room for the alien and stranger. God reminds Israel again and again, you once were strangers and aliens, so make room for the stranger and alien among you. And so he opens whatever space he has left. He opens his barn, he provides a bed of straw, a roof, a shelter, And the couple finds refuge from the elements. And on that night, in this barn, comes the one that we will learn to call Lord. The one that we will learn to call Christ. The one who is Emmanuel, God with us. The innkeeper makes space, and the newborn child comes, is wrapped in cloth, is placed in a feeding trough because there is no room for him in the inn. Had the innkeeper known? Had he known what was taking place on that evening? How would he have acted differently? How would he not have opened up some other space than the barn? We cannot make grace. We cannot force God's hand. We cannot make God come and grace us with his presence and his power. We cannot make grace appear or construct the conditions for God to pour out his blessing upon us. We cannot make grace, but we can make room. For grace, by definition, is unexpected. Grace, by nature, comes to us like a stranger. For grace must be unexpected and undeserved to be grace. It's gift. It's unearned. By definition, we cannot earn it. And God in Jesus comes to us as grace. Unearned, unexpected, undeserved. By nature, grace comes unprovoked and uninvited. Grace comes to us like a stranger. Now, 30-some years after this event in the stable, after Jesus is crucified and it's rumored that he's risen from the dead, some disciples are walking on the road between Jerusalem and Emmaus. Emmaus is a town that's about a day's journey from Jerusalem. They're walking and they're discouraged and they're confused. The one that they had spent years following was crucified in the most horrendous way. And now there's an empty tomb and they're wondering what happened. A stranger comes up alongside them and starts a conversation with them. They're not in the mood for conversation. They don't want to talk. And so they initially scold the stranger and they say, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem, the only one alive that doesn't know these horrendous events that have just taken place? Why ask us about this?" And so then they begin to tell the stranger about following Jesus, about the cruel crucifixion, and now the rumor circulating that he's risen from the dead. But now it's the stranger's turn. He interrupts them and he begins to show them from the scriptures why it is that the Messiah needed to suffer and then rise from the dead. The disciples are moved by this stranger, this unexpected and uninvited guest who opens the scriptures and begins to explain to them what they never had seen in the text before. Their hearts burn within them as they listen to the stranger's words. They had never considered this possibility of a dying and resurrected Messiah. Oh, they hope it's true. May this be true. But how to know? The disciples arrive at their home or the place they're staying in Emmaus, and the stranger begins to move on. And they beg him, "Please, no, stay with us. We'll make room for you. It's been a long day journey. It's dangerous to walk in the night. Please stay with us." And so he does. And they prepare a dinner. And as they are sitting around the table eating, the stranger takes bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks. And at that moment, their eyes are suddenly opened and they recognize who this stranger has been all along. The stranger is Jesus himself, the risen Lord, in their home, breaking bread. Unexpected, unprovoked, uninvited, and yet here he is. We cannot make grace. We cannot twist God's arm. We cannot make God come and grace us with his presence or his power. Grace is the unexpected, the unearned, the unprovoked, the uninvited favor of God. that he so lavishly pours out on us. Grace is the unexpected, unearned, unprovoked, uninvited favor of God that he so powerfully pours out on us. There's nothing we can do to construct the conditions for grace. Grace is a gift. We cannot make it. We cannot make God give it. But we can make room. The Advent season is all about learning to make room. It's all about opening our lives to one another, to strangers in our midst, and also ultimately opening our lives to God. Where would Abraham be if he let the strangers pass? How many people did the resurrected Jesus pass on the road before he found a willing conversation partner? How many homes in Bethlehem would have swung their doors wide open had they known what God was up to on that night? How many times have we turned away the surprising and the unexpected grace of God when we have, like Bethlehem, closed our doors to our neighbors and to our strangers and to those that are in our community in need? Grace, the gift, the blessing, the favor of God comes to us even today. But often not in the way we expect, and not in response to the things that we think we might do to earn God's favor. We cannot make grace, but we can make room. So let us enter this season, let us enter this week, opening our lives, being aware of the possibility of the unexpected, the unprovoked, the uninvited, the always surprising grace of God in our lives. May we find space this week to make room for the stranger, for the neighbor, for the one that's in need. May we find space this week to make room for the coming of God himself. Let's pray. Jesus, we can become so comfortable with this story, we forget the amazement of it. The fact that you come as a child, born in a place we would never expect. That you find all kinds of ways of coming near to us and speaking to us, and yet we so often have our ears closed, our eyes closed. Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts this week to expect the unexpected, to make space, to make room in our lives for the way